Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm getting better every day. It's Monday. That means Father Charles Murr is with his father. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show again.
Always a joy. You know that. Always a joy.
I get a joy even if I'm not feeling that great. And I'll tell you why. I can't think of anything better than talking about Jesus Christ and about salvation. I get to talk to you. I get to talk to Jesse, my brother, Bishop Strickland, every week about one thing, how to get to heaven. And, you know, what else?
You know, and Terry, after all, what else matters?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's nothing really.
Everything else is secondary.
Top of the food chain. So we're going to be talking about several things. We're going to be talking about the bishop from the Syrian church in Sydney who was attacked at the Holy Mass. We're going to be talking about some statistics from Pew Research about Catholics, a very extensive research, and much, much more. I also want to talk about it's time to remove Father Rupnik's art, and I'll tell you who he is if you had forgotten. We need to really get back to Jesus Christ and not so much on individual people. And really, when people go across, try to change the church teaching, we have to say, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm going to stay with the perennial teachings of the church. And that's the approach we've taken since the beginning with Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Father Murr, we're going to have the gospel for today, which is a gospel of John chapter 10, verse 1 to 10. Could you read that gospel and give us an explanation?
I would be honored.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over the fence is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus again said, Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. Mm-hmm. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it abundantly. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, there you are, Terry.
Yep.
There you are. This is a beautiful pastoral setting, one that all of the Jews of his day would certainly understand, because even those who lived in the city knew very well what life it was in the country. And they knew what sheep was, sheep and lambs and mutton. These were part of their diets, and they knew all about them. One thing that to always listen to carefully, the strange place of the amen. Amen ends a prayer. Amen in Hebrew, right? A prayer or an oath, it would always be at the end of it.
Right.
So be it. That's it. So be it. Well, our Lord says, so be it at the beginning.
That's interesting.
Not at the end.
Yeah.
He says, in other words, what he's saying is, what I'm going to tell you is it. Listen, right? So he's, amen, amen, I say to you. Amen, amen, dico vobis in Latin. And it's always something important that's going to come from them, from that. But he begins it with the end.
Interesting.
He begins it with the solemnity. So it's, we're to listen carefully to it. This that he gives of the sheep and the shepherd is beautiful. Everyone can associate with that.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you what, Terry, if we're anything, we're sheep.
Amen.
I see it every time I go on YouTube, mm-hmm. looking at any program. I'm amazed at what people follow. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah.
And follow immediately without thinking. You know, something came up the other day, Terry, and I don't mean to get off theme, but it's related to this.
Yeah.
It's related to being sheep. I believe it was Matt Walsh, who I would love to meet one day if he ever gets over here.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Walsh is one of my favorite people in the world.
Good man.
Fantastic. Yep. I think it was Matt Walsh, or it might have been Michael Knowles, one of the two. But they brought up the point of transgender children of celebrities.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I was astounded. I shouldn't have been astounded. As a matter of fact, it makes all the sense in the world. Most of the great celebrities, or the people who think are celebrities, or people who think themselves celebrities, have all of these children who are sexually confused. And they're all running after the latest fad. The latest fad right now is to be transgender.
Right.
Don't ask me why. I don't understand what people find it attractive in that. But it's certainly a way of getting attention.
Yes.
And attention making. But all of their children, they're all. I've never seen anything like it, and they're all very proud of it. What I'm trying to say is, this is the latest fad, and the sheep go immediately toward it. And they're all walking in unison. That's the latest fad. Another fad can come the day after tomorrow and they'll walk this way.
Right.
This is the way we are. And the crazy thing about it is we all believe that we're independent and free thinking.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. You know what, Terry, do you remember one of my favorite cartoonists? I used to buy the newspaper in Rome.
Yeah.
Only for this cartoon, The Far Side. Do you remember The Far Side?
I don't, but go ahead. I don't.
Oh, well, he's one of the things that he drew, Gary Larson. He used to play basketball. Gary Larson used to play basketball with Father Fezzio right outside of Ignatius Press.
Sure.
Anyway, I came from San Francisco, but what a mind. One of his cartoons was, I don't know, 10,000 penguins.
Yeah.
Just black and white, black and white,
sure.
Black and white, black and white. And one in the middle who put up his wings and said, I've got to be me.
That's funny.
Right? Well, this is it. This is the way we are.
Yeah.
We're penguins. We're the sheep. We follow. And what our Lord is talking to them, he's talking to them that they need leadership.
Yeah.
And he's saying he provides that leadership. And he said, and what he's saying also is, many who came before me were liars and thieves. They were hirelings, the false prophets that I listened to.
Yeah.
The real prophets, he says in another place, the real prophets were put to death.
Right.
Your fathers put them to death, the real ones. But you like to listen to the false ones. Well, that's it. You're still following it. And he's saying this. I am the only way.
Amen.
Real simple. If you and all of the bishops in the world and all the popes in history want to say that there's another way, they're wrong.
That's right.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
They're wrong. Because Christ is saying, no, there's one way. There aren't multiple ways. There's one way. Now, we're not limiting God's mercy. God can do it as God wishes, right?
Right.
God wills. However, he's telling us himself, I'm the way, not a way, right? And beautiful, beautiful. Whoever enters through me will be saved.
Yeah.
The rest have come to steal and slaughter and destroy. But I've come not to steal and slaughter and destroy, but that you may have life and you may have it abundantly.
Amen.
Abundantly, what is after this life, you're going to continue having life abundantly.
Yep. Yep.
So this is my take on the gospel. But I love when Christ starts out, Amen.
Yeah, so be it.
I always listen carefully.
Oh yeah, listen up. That's what we always say. If he says amen, listen up. Father, I just had one little comment. It seems to me that the idea that Jesus, I'm the gate, you know, I am the gatekeeper, the gate for the sheep. It seems to me that we have the world's view and then we have God's view. And it seems to me that right now we're in a situation where the world has infiltrated our views inside the church to a point where we're not listening to Jesus. We're listening more to what the world has to say. And I think Bishop Sheen talked about that back in the 1970s on his priest retreat. So I think this gospel also includes that we need to.
He sure saw it coming, didn't he, Jeff?
Yeah, 50.
He sure saw it coming.
50 some years ago.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about this attempted killing. Yeah, a stabbing at Sydney's church, the Good Shepherd Church outside of Sydney. Bishop Marmar Emmanuel, Emmanuel means God is with us, isn't that a great name, during his church service. And so we'll get into that and much, much more. Also, I want to mention something exciting that just came out. Father doesn't even know about it. And you can, well, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you about it on the way, on the other side of this quick break. But it's regarding Bishop Strickland and many others who are going to be joining us for a pilgrimage. Stay with us. I'll tell you all about it when we come back. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Mertz, a Monday, we're sitting in for Jesse, and we'll talk more about this. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Mertz sitting in for Jess. I was going to make a quick announcement about Bishop Joseph Strickland. On September 30th to October 4th, we're going to take a pilgrimage in the Southwest. We're going to the California Missions. And it's called Reconquering Jesus Christ in the Southwest. In other words, we're going to look at what the saints have done, you know, hundreds of years ago here in Southern California and in the Southwest. So we're going to be on a bus with Bishop Strickland, Jesse Romero, myself, Matt Arnold will be there. And we only have a limited, I think it's just two buses. So it's like 110 people who can come to this event. But you're going to be eating with Bishop Strickland. You'll be going to Holy Mass. He'll be preaching the gospel to us. There'll be many talks, even on the bus, about the faith. And it's a unique position. We won't even have it up. I'm just saying, mark your calendar. It's September 30th to October 4th, five full days of traveling and being with the good bishop and our other VMPR radio hosts. So mark your calendar. Next week we'll have a order form for people who want to join us on that. Before we get into our topic, I just remembered we didn't bring in the smartest guy into the room, Bishop Sheen. Full Sheen ahead.
There you go.
Bishop Sheen says this in his quotable Sheen. There is not much, there's not so much purpose, excuse me, there is not much purpose in living until one has decided why one is alive at all, right? When a normal person sees a gadget, he asks, what is it for? He asks the same question of himself. As a house is built to be lived in, a church made for worship, medicine made to restore health, schools to communicate knowledge, so too, man is made for something. That's what the world misses today. Nothing that satisfies a part of us can be our final end. Hence, food, honor, sex could not be the principle of our final end of man, because these satisfy only a part of him. Furthermore, these things are very often nothing but a means to an end. I bring this up, Father Murr, because I think this is what the world has missed. We forgot why we're here, and we've focused on me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity, and we just think this is it. So he who has the most fun in these 60, 80 years of life wins, when they don't understand that the point of having a life is to know the meaning and purpose of it, not to just, titillate yourself. So I think what Fulton Sheen said there applies big time in our culture today. Your thoughts?
Yeah, of course it does. A bigger problem than the one that Sheen was addressing.
Yeah.
In his day.
Yeah.
Is that, and you said it, you said a lot of people have forgotten what we're here for.
Yeah.
I would add to that, Terry, a lot of people never knew.
Yeah.
And still don't know.
No.
And are never going to know because nobody's telling them.
Exactly. Especially, I hate to say this, inside our own church.
Oh, listen, I just talked to a couple of couples
good,
out of sending their children to Catholic schools. I said, please don't do that. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
Get a catechism, teach them catechism at home, let them learn it from mother and father, and bring them here to Mass every once in a while. But
yeah,
please don't send them to Catholic school, because I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You've got people, the very few priests and nuns who are still associated with a lot of Catholic education, not all of it. There are some excellent institutions,
oh, yeah,
and some that are being born.
Yes,
thank God,
big time.
But a lot of them are with very confused priests and religious, yeah, very confused.
Yeah.
Therefore, the idea that people have forgotten is fine for the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah.
And then from the 1970s forward, they never knew.
That's true.
So they had nothing to forget. We have to educate them that the reason they're here is to get to heaven.
Yep.
There's no other purpose. Everything else, even the joys, the sorrows, the pains, the frustrations, the elations, everything that happens here is for that.
Yep.
Is to get to heaven.
That's right.
And people have to be made aware of that. I would add something else to that. There's a book that I read many years ago. The author was a Jewish survivor, I believe, of Auschwitz.
Wow.
I believe it was that, either that or Dachau.
Yeah.
And he's a great psychiatrist. But when I say Jewish, I have nothing against the Jews. Well, you know that.
Of course.
But when you're reading him, be mindful that Christ is not given a place of importance in his writings.
Of course.
However, they're important and they're very good. And the name of the book is Man's Search for Meaning. And Viktor Frankl just says this, but he shows it beautifully in this book.
Yeah.
He says, the people in concentration camps who had meaning in their life, who had a reason to survive,
yep,
a reason survived, most of them survived.
Yeah.
Those who did not have a reason died.
Of course.
They died themselves. Mm. They just withered and died.
They gave up.
The Man's Search for Meaning is a very, very good book. I'm just, it's sort of like, who is the other, the art of loving? I can't remember his name now. Okay. I should be ashamed.
That's
it
right.
Was a very famous name.
Yeah.
But he's another Jewish psychiatrist. Very, very good. Very good.
Not Carl Menninger. Is it Carl Menninger?
No. No, not Carl Menninger. Menninger is whatever became of Sin.
Yeah, that's it.
But this is for goodness sake, he's very famous. The art of loving. It'll come to me anyway. But the reason
is it Eric?
Eric Fromm. Yes. Who is was that your guardian angel?
Yeah, that's our guardian angel, our engineer Richard. I love it. Thank you, Rich.
Eric Fromm. Exactly. Yeah. Eric Fromm. And the only reason that I mentioned their Jewishness is because much of what they have to say when I was reading it,
yeah,
is frustrating because Jesus Christ, our Lord, said it even better.
Yeah.
But they don't quote him.
No.
Right. And this is what's frustrating. However, this whole idea of the meaning of life to us Christians is obvious.
Yeah.
It is to get to heaven.
Amen.
It's not to stay here. That doesn't work, does it?
Nope.
Can you add, our Lord himself said it, can you add a couple seconds to your life?
Nope.
Can't do that. So it's not about here, it's about there. And the problem that we have also since the 60s and 70s is that it's all about here.
Yes, exactly.
Be good because people are expecting you to be good, and you should be nice, and because everybody's nice and good. No, you should be good because you want to gain a place in heaven for yourself and for
Exactly.
the person you're addressing for
That's
that
right.
good.
That's right.
Yeah, come on. It's time to wake up. It really is time to wake up and be real Christians, real Catholics
Absolutely.
again.
You got it. Hey, I want to bring up this topic of the church stabbing outside of Sydney, Australia. The attack on Bishop Marmar Emmanuel during his church service. This man was only 16 years old, and what impressed me, Father, was that the shepherd, and I've been watching him for years. We've had him on our show here because he's so outspoken on topics about the centrality of Jesus Christ in everything he does. And I love his name, Emmanuel. He took for his bishop's name, God is with us. I love that.
God with us, right?
Yeah. And I just he forgave the man while I mean, here he is, he's cut up because the knife didn't actually open up the blade like it should have. I look at that as God intervening because it probably saved his life. Now he got cut up pretty bad, the face and on the chest, but he's going to survive it. And here he is on the ground. And he's blessing the man who just tried to kill him. And, you know, we talked about this before the show. Would you know anybody that would have done that? Yeah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So,
I remember someone who was crucified doing that, right?
And so I
Father,
just,
forgive them.
I'm so impressed with this bishop. And I've been impressed since he has been on YouTube. People can look him up because he is just a no-nonsense guy. My take on it is I wish we had bishops like that in the Catholic Church, and maybe the Eastern Church can come back to the Catholic Church Universal because they would really bless us, people like him and others. But what is your take on that whole event, Father?
That would be great, Terry. That would be great to have the two lungs of the church, as
Two lungs.
John Paul II
Yep.
put it, those two lungs functioning together.
Exactly.
I for one really miss
Yeah.
the Orthodox being part of the Catholic Church. I really
Really?
do, because their traditions are rich, their theology is
Yeah.
rich, just beautiful.
Yeah.
And I've got to tell you, I didn't realize that he had been on your show.
Well, yeah,
The Bishop Marmar.
we've had when I say he's on our show, I take clips of his YouTube because I think what he says is
Oh, I
so
thought,
important.
okay, but you haven't interviewed
No,
him.
I've never interviewed him personally.
Not yet.
Well, not yet, but we just love his straightforwardness when it comes to issues, whether it's the jab or whether it's the
Yeah.
centrality of Jesus Christ bringing him back. And he has a zeal that attracts people, and that's what I think is what attracted me was his zeal for Jesus Christ.
Well, what I was going to tell you is that I listened to him.
Yeah, okay.
I know that he's Syrian Orthodox,
Syrian Orthodox.
but I listened to him because his message is, my goodness, it's better than most Catholic bishops would give, Roman
I
Catholic
would think
bishops would
so.
give,
Yeah.
seriously, and it's more Catholic than most Catholic
Yes,
bishops
yes,
would
yes.
give. But I too admire his zeal, and I was going to say I listen to him religiously. Well, yes, I do. No
Good.
pun intended.
No, I
Yeah.
get it. I get it. And again, we pray for him. We pray for that Muslim young man he's already had a track record in January of cutting somebody else up with a knife, attacking somebody. So, you know, whether it's mental
He
illness.
did, and he and Terry, it's good to underscore that
Yeah.
he has attacked
Oh, yeah.
he has
The
attacked people
track record.
before and has cut them up.
Yes.
Severely stabbing.
Yes. Yes.
So this stabbing that the switchblade didn't work properly.
Yeah.
It wasn't that he just wanted to hit him and scare him. He
No.
was looking to stab him, but the knife didn't work. Thank
Right,
God.
right. And so we'll pray for him and his conversion. I want to say this, Father Murr, that when we come back from the break, this is a very interesting Pew Research Center that they did a major research on Catholics in general about what they believe and what they don't believe. And again, it just shows me how the world has infiltrated our church to a point where I don't see any difference from here. Catholic and a non-Catholic when it comes to...
Oh, Terry, I can't wait till we come back and you tell me what we believe and we don't believe.
Yeah, I hear you. And I also want to bring up a professor of yours regarding statistics. So let's do that when we come back.
Ah.
A little storytelling goes a long ways here on the Terry and Jesse Show.
It does. It does. I've noticed.
Stay with us, family. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr sitting in. It's Monday. Having a great conversation. I want to bring up something that Pew Research came out with. And many people remember probably 8-10 years ago, Pew Research came out with interviewing Catholics about what they believe about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And how few people believe in what the church teaches. But you know, Father, I have to go back to 1965, Pope Paul VI wrote a document called Mysterium Fidei, even during the Vatican II Council. Many people don't realize that he had a concern because we had fathers at the council talking about transfinalization, you know, transignification when it came to the Eucharist. They were all wet. And he came out with this document and said, gentlemen, I'm so sorry, you're wrong. We have one term that best describes transubstantiation, okay? We need to keep that. And, of course, nobody paid attention to him because we saw after the council the de-Eucharization that was going on, and Fulton Sheen talked about it in the 60s and 70s. But this Pew Research now just came out with a big interview with many, many Catholics. And what basically the Pew Research is showing, it's like 83%, they love what Pope Francis is doing. They like the changes he's doing. And these are not practicing Catholics. This is just, if you're baptized Catholic, what do you think of Pope Francis? He has a very high rating. Well, I have to ask, why would they have a high rating? Well, these same people, and here's some areas where it makes sense. 83% of U.S. Catholics want the church to allow the use of contraception. Okay, well, Pope Francis has made it very clear that we're reevaluating that whole issue on contraception, got rid of the John Paul II Institute in the Vatican, that dealt with Hermione Vitae. So why would they want to support the Pope? Because they think contraception is not a good idea. I mean, that it is a good idea and that the church needs to change with the times. Here's one more, Father Murr. 75% says that the church should allow Catholics to take communion, even if they are unmarried, living with a romantic partner. So someone living in adultery or fornication, these Catholics who support the Pope have made it clear that, hey, why not? What's that got to do? See, those same people, I'm sure, have very little catechesis about what they're receiving. It's kind of like just, hey, you know.
They don't have a clue.
No, that's my point.
They don't have a clue. Therefore, see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you're saying, the observations you're making. And here's the deal.
Tell me, Father.
When you say that all Catholic people who are living in mortal sin,
yeah,
should be able to receive Holy Communion.
Right.
People who are living in gravely disordered relationships,
right,
should be able to. Well, sure. If you don't think that that wafer is anything more than a piece of bread,
yeah. Why not?
That's it. As a matter of fact, put it in a Dixie cup and pass it around at World Youth Day to millions. You know, it doesn't matter. It's just a piece of bread.
Unbelievable.
Now, we had a bishop. We had a bishop in, and let me just tell you a quick story. We had a bishop in Mexico. When I was at the orphanage, I designed and built a chapel. I think it's one of the most beautiful chapels in the world, right?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit prejudiced.
You think?
However, and I dedicated it to Our Lady of Sorrows, all right? The bishop came in, the new bishop, and he said, where are you putting the tabernacle?
Yeah.
He said, I see the tabernacle here in the center.
Yeah, of course.
He said, it should be on one of the side altars. And I said, first of all, I said, Excellency, with all due respect, you're wrong. What the document that putting the Blessed Sacrament on a side altar is talking about a major cathedral, a huge space where it would be lost. We're talking here a chapel. I said, listen, I'll go one further. Here's the deal. I can't believe I spoke to my bishop like this, all right? But I said, here's the deal. What that tabernacle contains is either the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I.e. God.
Right.
Or it's not. One of the two things. It's either God.
Right.
Or it's not God. Now, if it's not God,
right,
I don't even want it as part of my chapel. I wouldn't put it on a side altar if it's not. I wouldn't put it anywhere. Get rid of it.
Of course.
But if it, I said, Excellency, if it is God, wouldn't the best place be of the highest honor in this chapel?
Of course.
To God, or where would we put it? Behind you, because you deserve the highest honor? Come on. Let's get real here. This is a problem of faith, Terry.
Exactly.
It's a problem of faith. And what the Pew Research is talking about is the disintegration of the Catholic faith. And that's what they're showing.
Exactly. Now, you had a professor of statistics, and he had something to tell you about a story.
We had a professor.
Yeah.
We had a professor who actually, he taught sociology, right? So sociology is all about statistics.
Yes.
But he cautioned us. He was a priest. This is in university.
Yeah.
He cautioned us, and he said this. He said, "Be very." This is day one of the class.
Yeah.
Be very careful of statistics. Right. I'm taking notes. Be careful of statistics, because statistics would tell you that if you have one foot in the oven, and in the other foot on a block of ice, you should be relatively comfortable.
Oh, that's funny. I never heard that.
Well, you're taking these two extremes, you're dividing by two,
right?
And you get up, you should be comfortable. Statistics can lie easily.
Yeah.
And you know more, you know very well, Terry, that the way a question is asked, we took this in statistics at NYU,
and we
got right to the heart of the matter. The way the question is asked, the way the question is posed, that you're taking a poll on, that determines very much of the answer.
Yep.
Okay.
Very well said. Now, they also talk about, you know, people who are Catholic, what do they think about churches get a priest being married? Almost 70% said, oh, yeah, why not?
Sure.
Saying that women should become priests. Yeah, 64%. Why? I mean, it's equality, right? Isn't it? What's the difference?
Yeah.
But again, right, what's underlying all this is they have no idea about their family.
And you know what else, Terry? And Fulton J. Sheen brought this up sarcastically. And priests should be nuns and nuns should be priests.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Sure.
Nothing means anything. Yes.
And this is 54% of the Catholics say the church should recognize marriages of gay and lesbian couples. Now, I keep saying this, but do you wonder why they have a favorable view of Pope Francis? I'm sorry, Pope Francis, he's given a message out, even if it's not in straight language. But here's the thing. Actions speak louder than words. Let me give you an example. He has a lesbian couple who come to get a blessing for their marriage. And rather than living in reality, he calls these people, you know, their name, whatever they want to be, now, rather than living in reality. So actions speak louder than words. Well, I understand the church's official teachings are very clear in what we call the magisterium. But what I see happening today and why this is happening with Catholics who are uneducated in the faith is because we have officials, high officials in the church, who say very similar things, like the Cardinal Wallerich, who ran the Senate on Synodality. He said the church is wrong when it comes to homosexuality, we've learned through science that it's a legitimate expression of love. Well, excuse me, Cardinal, if you really believe that, I mean, no, sit down, because that's not what the church teaches. And you as a cardinal should be honest about it and say, you know what, I don't believe anymore, and do us a favor and step. I would have more respect for him if he did that, Father Vernon.
Yeah.
Your thoughts.
Yes, but that's what Sheen also said, Terry, and he said it very boldly. Mm-hmm. He said so many of these people have no right to remain in the church and in the office that they're holding, whether they be bishops or cardinals or priests or deacons.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, because if they've lost the faith, they've lost the faith. He said, and then he asked himself another question. He said, but why don't these people leave?
I tell you,
why don't they leave?
What did he say? Because I knew what he said.
Because they found a very comfortable haven.
Exactly.
That's all. And that's what they're living. And you know what, Terry? And you know this too. When you meet a person who's living in a comfortable haven.
Yeah.
And he's not living the faith. He's living in a comfortable haven. Take care. You know it.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah.
You know it. You know when somebody's lost the faith.
Let me ask you this.
They're not honest.
Right.
They're not honest. That's the problem.
Right. Well, here's a question that comes, and I know we have an election year coming up in the United States in 5-6 months. But it was interesting. 89% of Catholics who are Democrats approve Pope Francis. And the reason I bring this up is we have a president now who's Catholic in name, Joe Biden, and he's hell-bent on killing as many babies as possible. And we have a church who's very silent when it comes to saying, you know, that's not something you should be supporting or you can't support. I mean, we have people like Father Frank Pavone, and he's on every month with us. We cover this again and saying, when is the church going to excommunicate? And I know it already automatically does when you do things like this, but for the benefit of the hoi polloi, we need the Holy Mother, the Church, to speak clear on these issues so Catholics know the way to go when it comes to the life issues. Stay with us, family. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show with Father Charles Murr on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be back after a quick break.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Actually, Father Murr sitting in for Jesse Romero. It's Monday. And we've been talking about a Pew Research on Catholics and their views on different moral teachings. And basically, we see that Catholics and non-Catholics have no difference when it comes to morality. And that is an indictment on our church for teaching the people. But I will bring this up to Father Murr and get his take on this. Catholics who attend Mass regularly, they say once a week or more, are far more inclined than those who go hardly ever to point out that they would rather have more traditional teachings of the church. I'm going to make an assessment, and then you tell me. I'm convinced that when people have traditional liturgies, like the Anglican Ordinariate that I go to, or the Trinitine Mass, the TLM, Traditional Latin Mass, that's a game changer for their view when it comes to their relationship with Christ and the influence it has on their moral teachings. So basically, I'm saying this, and you can correct me, but the way you worship is the way you believe. And having more traditional liturgies, this is my opinion, and you, Father Murr, correct me, but having more traditional liturgies are going to actually be the solution to the moral problems in the church today. Your thoughts?
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's obvious, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't that obvious?
Of course.
I mean, to me, it's obvious. Here's the deal. We're talking about the Pew Institute doing their survey, all right?
Right.
And they came up with 70% of practicing Catholics, 70% of those who practice the Catholic faith do not believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, all right?
Yep.
Good. Now, wait a minute. Could you tell me the same is true, Terry? Now you've got a good you've got your pulse on the Anglican Rite community. Would you say that that would be true of the Anglican Rite community?
No, it would not be, and I'll tell you why. We receive Holy Communion only on the tongue and kneeling down, and the prayers that we say are very, very clear that what we're receiving is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. So there's no ambiguity in that liturgy, and I think that communicates to the people in the church that we're receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, not a symbol. So I don't see how anybody could not get that message going to that Mass. Now, let me just back up. 75% of the Anglican Ordinariate Mass is the traditional Latin Mass in English. Some of the prayers that they say are just quite beautiful right before we receive Holy Communion. And they also say things like, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, my soul shall be healed three times. Things that were taken out with the new Mass as saying that it's repetition, that's not needed. No, it's all needed, saying things three times, because it's emphasizing something that hopefully it will get through your head. So to answer a simple question that you asked, no, I don't see how anybody at an Anglican Ordinariate Mass would understand that what they're receiving is a symbol, but only the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Did I lose Father Murr? Looks like I lost him. I got too long-winded there. Okay, he'll come right back. But, and I'd say this, that one of the things the Bishops' Conference is trying to do right now in this summer is have a Eucharistic revival. Well, we've talked about how do you get the Eucharistic revival? Change the way people receive Holy Communion. Get a more reverent masses. I'm going to tell you, I've been sick, so I didn't get to go to my Anglican Ordinariate Mass on Sunday. So I went to a local parish, and I was appalled. The priest was saying, "Hey, I'm the joker. I'm the most jovial joke. I'm the priest of the diocese, and I'm just a silly priest." And he didn't make things clear about anything in his homily, and he actually made it ambiguous about what we believe about the Eucharist and that we're all, the Eucharist. So don't get hung up over transubstantiation or transfinalization or transignification. It doesn't matter. Well, he's wrong, and he's misleading people. Those are the guys we need to be removed so that they can the folk the flock will be fed with the pure gospel rather than a compromised gospel. And I bring this up because if you're in an area where the Anglican Ordinariate Mass is going on, you can just Google it, type your zip code, they'll let you know. But if you're in Southern California, come to our masses. We have a vigil mass at 5 o'clock Saturday, and then 7:30 on Sunday morning, and 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. I'd even say go to the Melkite Rite at our chapel at 11:30 every Sunday. The Eastern Rite liturgies are quite beautiful, and I just think that my take on all this is we really do need. And I have a great series by Abbot Boniface Luki, who was one of the fathers of Vatican II, before, during, and after. He worked with Bonini, which was not a good guy to work with, Archbishop Bonini. And he told me in a 90-minute interview, actually a 3-hour interview I had done in 1992, and it's available from us, that what happened in Vatican II was not supposed to, be the way, in other words, the implementation of Vatican II's document would make the fathers of Vatican II roll in their graves. For example, ad orientem. What does that mean? To face a church, the priest is not facing the people, he's facing the altar. That in itself is going to make it so that when you're at worship of God, you don't have an entertainer there. Because what happens with the priest facing you, they tell me, I got to smile, I got to, engage with you with my eyes. That's ridiculous. We're not here to worship you. We're here to worship Jesus Christ. And if you turn around, and Vatican II documents point this out in rubrics where it says in the church, and the priest turns around and says, "The Lord be with you," that inclines that he's not facing you. Also, the church's Vatican document says Vatican is supposed to have a prime of place. I'll just ask you, our listener, when was the last time at your parish you had a Latin Mass? That answers the question, doesn't it? Here at our chapel, we have Novus Ordo Latin Masses several times a week, and they're beautiful. Now, why do I say that? Well, I say that because Latin is a language for worship. If we had the Latin Mass, I don't care if you're in Tokyo, New York, Paris, if we had a universal language of worship back, it would unite the fold. So these are the kinds of things that I think the bishops are, you know, needing to do when to bring back this Eucharistic revival. And also, perpetual Eucharistic adoration. I told you last month, I did a parish mission in Pomona at St. Madeline's. And the day that I left, the next day was they were going to start their perpetual adoration. And I was giving talks on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And I just say this because this is the answer. It's not the clown masses that many parishes have. That's going to undermine the faith. And we've seen that for 50 years, the undermining of the Catholic faith to a point where they just don't know their faith. And so this Pew Research Center shows again that Catholics do not have any different view than non-Catholics when it comes to morality. Because, again, I said it before, the way you worship is the way you believe. And this is critical for us. And I know that we hear people in the church saying we have a new paradigm, a new development of doctrine. And I love this. Bishop Strickland pointed out this isn't part of, you can't do that. You can't change the way you reveal God's word. God's word is a higher on the food chain than any archbishop or even pope, because we have to be faithful to the scriptures. So this Pew Research report really makes it clear that we need to stick with our guns. The last topic, Father Murr's in Europe, so he's having difficulty coming back on, is Father Rupnik, the former Jesuit. Remember his story? We've talked about it on the radio. He's a scandal to the Catholic Church. He was abusing nuns sexually, and he had all kinds of artwork, mosaics that were all over the world, from Lourdes to France. And he was excommunicated, and then a very high prelate, probably the highest prelate in the church, 30 days later, reinstated him with his faculties, unlike others. So the problem is, this priest's artwork is still all over the world. And I think it's reasonable for us as lay people to say it's time to take all of his artwork out. And many people would agree with me on this. And it's time to basically reform the church again. This reminds me of the time of the 15th century before the Reformation, when the church was living a decadent life. Oh, there he is. Father Murr, we just have a couple.
Terry, I've got to tell you, the devil has a very long tail.
Oh, yeah, you're not kidding. Father, I just was talking about the time to remove Father Rupnik's art from all Catholic churches because of the scandal that he's brought on the church.
Of course. That's not even a question. The question is, why in the world does the church authority not move to do this?
I'm going to give you my answer, and you can correct me. I'm judging. Yeah. We've got too many people like him inside the church. Did you hear what I said?
You think?
No, I'm just. I think that
might be the problem.
I think that's the problem. And as a matter of fact, yes. I'm going to tell you a story right on the air that one of the Opus Angelorum priests told me. They were doing work in the Vatican. And this was probably 15 years ago. And they wanted to use the restroom, and they found two Monsignors, basically two homosexuals, doing things in the bathroom that you don't do. And this was so rampant. I think homosexuality in the Vatican is rampant. Okay, I just said it. And
do you mean to tell me, Terry, that you think that there's a motive behind all of this, this pro-trans and pro-gay
yes,
and
I
pro-everything?
Do. Absolutely.
Well, there you are.
All right.
There you are.
Father, can you give us a blessing before we have to run?
Absolutely, absolutely. Benedicat vos omnipotens Deus, Pater, Filius, et Spiritus Sanctus. Amen.
Amen. Folks, I want to thank you for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Murr, I ask Jesse this question every day. What state should we be living in, Father Murr?
We should be living in the state of grace, Terry. And you get well, would you please?
I am.
Get completely healed.
Yeah, I am. I'm resting. I only have 3 more radio shows today to do.
Your idea of resting and real rest are 2 different things.
You know, I really like to joke with myself. And, hey, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Stay with us, family. We got more shows coming up after this. And thanks again for supporting us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Remember, Our Lady of Fatima said souls are going to hell because no one's there to make reparation. Well, offer this little cold. I can offer it for salvation of souls. I'm getting more merit this week than last week. Thanks again for joining us. God love you and your family.